happens is the audience, the people listening to it, it makes it a hot medium in Marshall McLuhan's words, because they're involved. They're supplying something. They're not just sitting back and saying, oh, that's funny. Oh, that's funny. They're supplying the other end of the conversation. I belong to a country club out here, and George Scott belongs to it. And he asked me one time, he said, in that kind of gruff voice of his, he said, let me ask you something. How do you do those telephone conversations? And I said, well, George, I just, I ask a question, and then I wait long enough for the person on the other end to answer it, and then I start talking again. He said, that's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I thought to myself, no, George, Patton is amazing. this is just a telephone conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to do it. That's the only way you can do it.
Bob Newhart is my guest. Now, you're Catholic, and when you were coming of age as a comic, I think a lot of the comics were Jewish comics who were getting their start in the Catskill Mountains, which was a largely Jewish resort area. And I'm wondering if you ever felt that ethnic comics had a built-in constituency, i.e. people of their ethnic group. And did you feel like you had that kind of, because there was no borscht belt for you.
No.
Did you play the borscht belt at all?
No, I never have.
Right.
The Catskills, no.
Right. So did you feel like that...
I played the Poconos. That's as close as I ever came to the
right.
Catskills.
Right. Okay. Did you feel like you were missing out on something, not being identified as an ethnic comic?
Well, humor, I think, at that time was very regional, as I recall. It was... I remember Phil Foster doing routines about the Brooklyn Dodgers. And then television came along, and you had to make your humor continental. You couldn't make it regional anymore. It had to be. You had to find ways of not making it regional. Is what I'm trying to say. After some time, I realized that a lot of my friends a lot of the comics are Jewish that I know, and they would refer to their Jewishness. And then I began referring to my Catholicism and what it's like to grow up as a Catholic, and began to realize how funny it is in many ways to grow up. It gives you a chance to kind of stand back and look at it and find the humor in it.
What did you find funny about your Catholic upbringing?
Well, for instance, I said what the difference between Catholics and other religions is basically we have confession, and non-Catholics don't understand how you go in this little dark room and tell another human being like terrible things you've done during the week. But if you're raised Catholic, there are certain tricks you learn about going to confession, like you... You sit in the very last pew, and you watch the two lines move into the confessional, and whichever line moves the fastest, that's the one you get in, because that priest wants to get out of there. And I remember the first time I did that, and it got a big reaction from the audience, and I realized, oh, I'm not the only one who did that.
You kind of treat it as if it was a long line at the supermarket instead of the confessional. Can you remember for us what the venues?
Yes. That's interesting, because it does suggest they might have a confessional like 10 sins or less.
The swift moving line.
I just thought of that.
That's good. Oh, can you recall for us what your early venues were like? What the smaller clubs, if there were such things at the time, and what Reno and Vegas were like when you started doing them in the 60s?
Oh, wow. There were clubs. They weren't comedy clubs per se, much as they'd be referred to today as, with just one comic after another getting up and doing 5 minutes. There was they were folk music clubs, places like Mr. Kelly's in Chicago and the Hungry Eye in San Francisco.